Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pear.com.
Today is Saturday, May 20th. This week, for the first time in more than 3 years, Americans started learning how to deal with COVID-19 without it being considered a public health emergency. Federal officials decided the virus is, quote, no longer the disruptive force it once was, and with that, let the emergency order expire. So what does that really mean for you? And what does that mean about COVID-19, the disease? Dr. Caitlin Jedalina is an epidemiologist and the publisher of the popular Substack newsletter called Your Local Epidemiologist. She'll share why there's not even a word in epidemiology to explain the state of COVID-19 today. And later, we talk all about long COVID, what it is, the average American's risk of getting those long-lasting symptoms, and more. She also weighs in on whether the U.S. is prepared for the next pandemic. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Dr. Caitlin Jedalina, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So the government's official public health emergency for COVID-19 recently came to an end. So I want to start with briefly reviewing what does that mean and some of the key things that will change for most people.
It's a big deal because not only did our national emergency end, but the global emergency declared by the World Health Organization also ended. But for us Americans, like on a day-to-day basis, the national emergency has more impact, particularly among people that are under or uninsured, because many of the tools in our tool belt, like antigen tests or vaccines, are going to move into the private sector, just like any other treatment we have. And so while a lot of health insurance will continue to cover vaccines and hopefully Paxlovid and hopefully antigen tests, it's not guaranteed. And so we'll kind of see what that means going forward with each individual health plan.
And is there any idea yet how much the tests and the vaccines might cost both people with insurance and without?
We have all these numbers floating around. Moderna and Pfizer said that their vaccine is going to cost between $130 to $200 per vaccine. But that is just like raw cost. You know, thanks to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, health insurance, at least private health insurance, covers vaccines, which is super helpful to reduce those disparities. I think the biggest question as public health people had was, what's going to happen to the uninsured, right? How are they going to pay for a $200 vaccine? And the Health and Human Services and the White House figured out a kind of bridge plan where they're going to cover vaccines for the next year and a half, I believe, for the uninsured. But after that, we have to figure out a long-term solution.
What about the state of COVID-19, the disease in America? Where do things stand?
To me, we are in this really weird place between full-blown emergency or a pandemic and a predictable future, which would be called an endemic. And we actually don't have a good word for this middle area. We don't even have a word in epidemiology, right? It's like this transition phase. COVID-19 is going to continue to mutate. Right now, it's mutating about 2 times faster than the flu, which means we will continue to see waves of infection. But hopefully the virus is settling into a more predictable pattern so we can mount a proactive response by kind of guessing what vaccine formula we need in the future and how and when to prepare.
Do you expect that those shots will now become similar or even combined with the annual flu shot?
I expect that we're going to have at least annual COVID-19 vaccines as long as COVID-19 continues to mutate just as quickly as it is. And particularly, some people may have 2 vaccines like those over 65 per year. And you're right, a lot of pharmaceutical companies are testing the combination of flu and COVID-19 vaccines. For example, Novavax has one that looks very promising, but those are still in clinical trials. And I don't think they'll be ready for fall, maybe next year, but we'll see how that goes.
I know that you've advised the White House about how the U.S. can better respond to the next pandemic. Where do you think we are at this point on that front?
It's incredibly frustrating right now because I don't feel like we're taking all the lessons that we learned over the past 3.5 years and implementing them. And some of the reason for that is just funding. If we don't have money to create better data systems or put in scientific translation or really do any of this, you know, find spillover events, do a lot more wastewater tracking, then we can't do anything. I mean, money talks, especially right now. I think the other challenges and disappointment that I've had is I've been really advocating for a commission. So like we did a 9/11 commission to understand what we got right and what we got wrong and how to improve in the future. We haven't seen that with COVID-19. The reality is we'll probably make small incremental changes instead of these sweeping changes we've seen in other countries and just hope that the next pandemic isn't around the corner.
And to be clear, you're talking about funding to prepare for another pandemic, not necessarily to go specifically to COVID.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the saying we always say is the end of the emergency is the beginning of preparedness. And there's a lot of lessons we can apply, not just for the future of COVID in the United States, but for other biological threats.
The public health emergency may have been lifted, but for people experiencing long-term symptoms from COVID, the struggle is far from over. Coming up, Dr. Jedalina is explaining the puzzle that is long COVID. We'll get into why it's difficult to diagnose, the average person's risk, and more. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. And take it from me, it's okay if you're not a pro in the kitchen. I'm not either. I never would have thought I could make bulgogi beef noodle stir fry with cabbage, carrots, lime, and scallions. And yet, thanks to HelloFresh, I did. And the whole family loved it. HelloFresh offers easy-to-follow-along recipes with instructions and pictures, along with the pre-portioned ingredients that are easy to prepare in just a few steps. And even though it's simple and straightforward, you're still getting high-quality meals. HelloFresh provides seasonal ingredients picked at peak ripeness and travel from the farm to your home in less than 7 days, so you know they're fresh. And whether you like HelloFresh or Green Chef, they're both owned by HelloFresh, so this gives you the option to switch between the brands and get a discount from both brands with me. So go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy16 and use the code newsworthy16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy16 and use code newsworthy16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. And thanks to our other sponsor, Athletic Greens. I had heard about Athletic Greens before, so I was intrigued. But when they sent me some AG1, I realized just how beneficial it is. And now it's part of my morning routine. 1 scoop mixed with water, that's it. And I've really noticed it helps me feel energized. A lot of mornings recently, I forget to get coffee or tea because I just don't need it as much as I used to. I also love that I don't need to take a million different pills each day. Just 1 daily scoop of AG1 covers my day's nutritional bases and supports my long-term gut health with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients. I personally like to add ice and a splash of lemon juice to mine, and it's nice tasting, easy to drink. And since I plan to have more smoothies this summer in the hot weather, I'm also excited to try putting the scoop in a morning smoothie. So if you're looking for a simpler and cost-effective supplement routine, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/newsworthy. That's athleticgreens.com/newsworthy. Check it out. Okay, now back to our conversation. So let's talk a little bit about long COVID. Are people still getting it? And then also, can you explain exactly what it is?
Yeah, so long COVID can be a very debilitating disease. It ranges from mild to severe symptoms, and it means that you have symptoms for 12 weeks after your initial COVID-19 infection. And these symptoms range from brain fog to fatigue to severe, like not being able to get out of bed or talk. Your risk is decreasing, especially if you stay up to date on vaccines, especially if you take Paxlovid, but it's not zero. The risk is still there. And to some people, including myself, it's not a small amount of risk.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about the amount of risk. And I know that in some of your Instagram posts, you've even compared it to, say, driving in a car.
When I did these calculations, I compared long COVID to other things that can give us debilitating things. And what I found was that long COVID is about the same risk as needing reconstructive surgery after a dog bite. It's a little more risky than your risk of permanent impairment for driving. And it's sure a whole lot more risky than getting severely injured during a house fire. And so long COVID is infecting millions of people right now. I personally have friends that were healthy and now have to be on heart disease medication for the rest of their life, heart failure medication. And so even if the risk is somewhat lower, it's still in the back of my mind. And so what I do is I still try to wear masks, especially during the winter months, to help reduce that risk. I keep up to date on my COVID-19 vaccines, and basically that's all I can do. And I accept some risk when going to parties, but I have to recognize that there's benefits to living your life that need to also be weighed with the risks of long COVID.
Do we know who is most at risk for developing long COVID?
There's a couple of patterns that have emerged. One is that females report long COVID 4 times more than males. If you have more severe disease, for example, patients that end up in the hospital or ICU, and this is especially apparent before vaccines, were more likely to get long COVID. And then there's other risk factors that seem to be bubbling up, like people with diabetes are twice as high to get long COVID, or that people with asthma are more likely to report long COVID than those without asthma.
And how is long COVID currently treated, and how are those treatments working?
Yeah, unfortunately, we just don't have a lot of treatments. We're still trying to understand what's causing long COVID, because whatever's causing it, whether it's, you know, viral reservoirs in the body or inflammation or autoimmunity, that will directly impact what treatment therapies we need to test. And right now we have about, you know, just about everything is being tested. I think we have about 300 clinical trials for treatments right now. And that takes time. And so the treatment is really long COVID clinics across the country that helps treat the symptoms in a multidisciplinary way.
And I know you mentioned you can lower your risk by staying up to date with vaccines. Does prior infection with no long COVID also reduce risk for potentially getting infected again and then getting long COVID?
We do see that there's a significant drop in long COVID for second infections compared to first infections. Second infections were roughly 40% lower risk than the first. So this means that while the risk decreases, it's certainly clearly not zero after your first infection.
And because you've mentioned that there's a wide variety of symptoms for COVID-19, how are doctors identifying it despite, you know, some overlapping symptoms with so many other diseases?
I think that's one of the hardest questions we're answering right now. And a reason why we can't, it's been difficult to get a real number about how many people are suffering today with long COVID, because a lot of long COVID symptoms like headaches, is something we experience on a daily life because our lives are just stressful too. And so discerning the two is really challenging. The way a lot of doctors are approaching that is elimination, right? Just make sure that nothing else explains it and find some of these patterns and then send them to a long COVID clinic that can really do a deeper dive into the assessment.
And does it typically, like, there's no pause between your COVID infection and your long COVID symptoms, or can it show up later?
It can show up later. 2 in 5 people don't have symptoms within the first 90 days of infection. Now, it is more rare for severe long COVID. We're talking, you know, can't get out of bed to randomly pop up 90 days later. It's more of the milder or moderate symptoms that can pop up, but it does happen. And I think this is especially surprising with people that get, for example, asymptomatic infection because they didn't even know they got a COVID infection in the first place. And so it's a challenging disease to really understand on a population level and try to treat.
And you wrote in your newsletter that some people are skeptical that long COVID even exists for real. Why is that? And what would you say to them?
It's incredibly frustrating and challenging for patients, but I don't think it's any surprise because we've seen this in the past with, for example, long flu. Some people just don't believe it. And I think one way we can help move that forward is talk about it more, like on your podcast, you know, educate people more, but also help those patients in finding treatments to show that this is legitimate, that the risk can reduce and we can treat it after all.
Well, thank you to your local epidemiologist, Caitlin Jedalina, for sharing her expertise. Be sure to follow her on social media and subscribe to her Substack newsletter, all under the name Your Local Epidemiologist, for more relevant updates and analysis. If you learned something new in this episode, please be sure to share the link with a friend today. And as always, we'll continue to keep you informed about the news impacting your life in our regular weekday episodes. Tune in every Monday through Friday for our 10-minute news roundups. All right, we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.